Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Holly.
Hey.
What's going on?
Wow, that was a really high voice. Yeah,
that was nice.
Welcome to the What Difference Does It Make podcast.
Happy to be here. So this is the What Difference Does It Make podcast. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter and on Instagram. Holly, you're in charge of YouTube, and how's that going?
Okay. You guys should really check out our YouTube channel. We put some outtakes. We have some behind the scenes stuff from the What Difference Does It Make podcast. Some little elements that you won't necessarily be able to find elsewhere. So check it out at the What Difference Does It Make podcast channel on YouTube.
Yes, we don't have a unique URL yet. So just type in What Difference Does It Make podcast and you will easily find us. I would then suggest that you subscribe. So that way you could easily find us every time. I do that now. I've subscribed. So whenever Holly posts something new, I'm like, oh, look at this. This is kind of cool. So she's making it fun. And that's going to be our thing this year, is to really beef up our YouTube presence.
Yeah. So check it out. Check it out.
Yeah. What you said, check it out.
Check it out. Check it. You know, we don't want to, that means pipe down in Hebrew. So.
Oh, okay. No, we want you to be like the Beastie Boys and check it out.
Yeah.
Check it out.
I am particularly giddy today.
And why would that be?
I have always loved counting down the K-Rock songs year by year. I just think it's fun. I love doing it. I love talking about the music. And we are back to it.
Yes, we are. Welcome to 1984.
1984, 'twas a good year.
Yes. So what we're going to do is we are going to take the top 106.7 songs that radio station KROQ in Los Angeles, the world famous K-Rock, their top songs from this particular year. We've done this in the past, you know, from 1980 to 1983, and now we're going to take on 1984.
And we are going to... I was going to say we're going to rip it apart, but we're not really going to. We're going to take it apart, but we're not going to rip it apart. That's a totally different implication.
Okay. Well, we'll rip. We can rip it up. It's fun. We'll do. We're going to do some deep dives into some of these songs that we haven't heard in a long time. Some of these songs we probably haven't even heard. We are going to create a Spotify playlist, which will list all of the songs. I will kind of slowly reveal them as we do our episodes. So no spoilers. You know, don't go ahead unless you want to. That's fine. But we're going to do this in 10 song chunks, except for this week, because it is the top 106.7 songs. We're going to do top 106.7 to number 101. Enough of this shenanigans. Let's get to the countdown. And usually, as K-Rock does, because it's 106.7, they go to a song that probably is just unique to K-Rock and then is not available at all, which is, what is song 106.7, Holly?
Okay, this song is called Erotic Eagle. And just for people who may be listening outside of Los Angeles, that is E-G-I-L, Eagle, as in Swedish Eagle, who was one of their first DJs on K-Rock.
Yes.
So, but Dave, do you know anything about this song?
I know zero about this song, but I do know about Swedish Eagle. He's from Sweden, and and still a purveyor of dance music in Los Angeles and all over. He's on Sirius XM. He still has a show on there. And I know he does like an internet thing. I think it's called Groove Radio, which is a radio station that was in Los Angeles. He was also the PD of Mars. If you like dance music, Swedish Eagle is your guy. I have no idea what Erotic Eagle is. I imagine it was something hilarious.
It's funny because I, well, also couldn't find anything about this song anywhere, but I can't help thinking, you know, when I hear Erotic Eagle, I think Erotic City. So I'm thinking of I wonder if it was.
I believe you're probably correct. I'm sure this was a Weird Al type parody with the Swedish Eagle saying erotic things in his Swedish accent.
I still do listen to him on Sirius XM.
Oh, that's very good. He's got like a daily show. I looked up there. He's got the 9 p.m. to 3 a.m. shift Monday through Thursdays.
But I like listening to him. He's a good boy, super knowledgeable, and
potential guest. Maybe we'll have to get him on the show. And congratulations to the Swedish Eagle who made the charts in 1984. By the way, I will also be asking you, because K-Rock did like a top 80 of 1984 for all their years, they did an updated list. And I will ask Holly if these songs are still on the list. There are, of these seven songs that we're going to talk about, three of them are on the list. And I will ask Holly if this is still an important song that should still be played on KROQ for their Rock of the 80s format. So is Erotic Eagle on this list?
It is definitely not.
That is correct.
That was kind of a no-brainer.
All right. So, that was our first test. We move on to 106. Now with the countdown officially starts. And it starts with a solo song from Danny Elfman, a song called Gratitude.
Funny you say a solo song, because that is actually the name of the album that it was released on. It's called So Low.
How about that? Yeah. It was also on the Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack.
Yes, it was.
So,
and you know, it's funny because I think this was considered, even though it's a Danny Elfman album, it was kind of considered an Oingo Boingo album. It didn't stray far from Oingo Boingo.
I mean, Danny Elfman sounds like Danny Elfman, especially, you know, listen to all his soundtrack work that he's done. There's some element of Elfman-esque sounds to his whatever he brings, which it never gets tiring. It's always good. So
no, he's a brilliant artist.
Yeah, I don't know why this was a solo album at the time, because I think Oingo Boingo was still kicking big time in 84, and they went on to make other records together, but apparently Danny wanted to do his own thing for right now. As long as we're talking Gratitude and So Low, I am very thankful that Danny Elfman is recording again. He put out during Halloween, he put out a song called Happy, and just a few days ago, he dropped another song called Sorry. Have you heard these songs?
I've heard them now. Thank you for sharing them with me. I hadn't paid such close attention. Would you call them progressive rock?
Sure, it's kind of prog rock. I looked on his website and he talked about being in seclusion and isolated and bored and just trying to find a way to inspire himself. And he re-recorded a song, actually, I saw called Running on a Treadmill, that his daughter recorded it on his iPhone, and I think that was an old Oingo Boingo song, and he recorded that, and that was kind of cool. But now he's doing these other two songs, which are a little darker, and it's, you know, you've been in isolation for a long time, and I think that's what's coming out of Elfman. You know, he's already a dark personality with, you know, the music is while it's whimsical, there's also dark tinges to it, and that's definitely with these two songs. It's kind of fun, and so it's exciting that Danny Elfman continues to reinvent himself.
When he writes for Halloween, he really writes for Halloween, doesn't he?
He's all in. I am too. You're good at who's married to who and things like that. Did you? I didn't even realize this. Do you know who Danny Elfman is married to?
Who is he married to? I can't remember.
He is married to Bridget Fonda. And the reason...
Oh, yeah.
The reason I know this is I love looking at, in the LA Times, they have hot properties and things for sale. And so last week they had Danny Elfman and Bridget Fonda's home had just sold for $8.75 million. And they had some pictures of the house. It looks really nice.
It's pretty nice. Yeah. It was in Malibu, right? I saw that.
No. Let's see. The married couple offered up two properties as a package deal for $14.6 million in October. And the smaller home, which Elfman and Fonda used as a guest house, is still up for grabs at $4.888 million. So in case you want to get one of the guest house, it's for sale. But this is in Fremont Place, a gated community filled with historic homes and architecturally dramatic mansions. And the home that they just sold spans two stories with colorful custom spaces across 8,346 square feet. It's really nice. Six bedrooms, eight baths. Danny Elfman makes a good living. And he deserves everything he gets because he's super talented.
And she's a good actress. She's a very fine actress. And so if you would like to purchase the guest house of Bridget Fonda and Danny Elfman, you should contact your local realtor.
Yeah, if you got $4.888 million lying around, this is something you might want to look into. Although it's only the guest house, so you know, not that great probably. I don't know what 4.888 million get you this nowadays.
That's what it gets you, a guest house.
A guest house. Welcome to LA. All right, moving on to number 105. Here's another song, Lost in Time. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry, I forgot. Going back, is Danny Elfman's Gratitude still on the K-Rock list?
Oh, I want to say, you said three songs dropped off?
No, there's three songs from our list that are on. Would you like to use this one as a guess?
You know what? I would like to say yes, because it's Danny Elfman, but you won't surprise me if it dropped off.
It is still on the list, number 75.
Okay. So can we consider me correct?
Yes. We will mark you. I'm going to give you a nice little mark there. There you go. Okay.
Awesome.
Very good. Two for two.
Okay.
All right. So 105 is a song, Lost in Time. It's called, it's by a band called Boy Waiting, and the song is called Girl Waiting.
Do you remember the song?
No. Do you?
I think I remember the song. At least there's a song running in my head that I know, because they have a nice sound, and that was verified by the only other song that we can find by them upon our YouTube, my YouTube search. Right? There was another song.
Yes, that was Where Did All the Boys Go, which is from 1985. And you look at the picture of it, and they look like they're straight out of 1985.
So they look like we looked or strove?
Strived.
Yeah. I think it's strove.
I don't think it's strove. I don't think that's a word.
Okay, I'm checking. Past tense of strive. Past tense is either strove or strived.
All right, so we're both correct.
Okay, and the past participle is either striven or strived. But I'm going with strove.
All right.
That's what we strove to look like. At least I did. And actually, my RE kind of did have the same hairdo, the mullet.
Sure. It's good. It's a good look if you're living in 1985 still. If you're not, get the hell out.
Okay, but nobody has that hair now. I'm talking about then.
I know, but there's still people that have that look. As I looked up on some discussion board, you kind of do your deep dive. There was a thing on this discussion board that said, Boy Waiting is the band, and Girl Waiting was an unreleased single played only by Freddie Snakeskin on KROQ. He was the PD of K-Rock, and he did all the searching for new music. It goes on to say, Where Did All the Boys Go was a hit in Germany and Turkish prisons. I guess not a big hit.
Okay,
that was just that was just a joke that was told by Raimondo. Raimondo was also a K-Rock jock, and so he posted that. And then the singer from Boy Waiting posted something that said, the song Girl Waiting was never recorded because of contract problems. It was one of our most popular songs live, and I'm glad to hear someone out there still remembers us. The B-side of our one and only single is called Time and was released as a European import. And that is all the Boy Waiting info that you get only on the What Difference Does It Make podcast.
So I did. So your original question was, do I remember the song? And I thought I remembered the song. And then when I listened to Where Did All the Boys Go, I knew that I was remembering correctly because of the sound of the band is very 1984 and the singer's voice was recognizable. So yes, so I do recall the song. Too bad we can't find it anywhere.
Okay. Probably one of the songs, you know, Freddie Snakeskin was right a lot of times. He probably was not right this time. Did not pick a hit this one time. So is this song still on the K-Rock charts?
It is not.
Correct. You're doing really well here.
Woo!
Which makes us move on to number 104, Eddie Grant's Romancing the Stone. I started listening to the song over and over and over again. I woke up this morning with the song still in my head. I mean, it's still, I really like this song. Even though it was written for the movie, Romancing the Stone, starring Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner. But I don't think it was ever, I don't think it was actually in the movie.
Actually, it was intended for the movie, but it was only used briefly in the film.
It was in the film.
I can't even picture the scene. It was, yeah.
Okay.
And it's mentioned in the closing credits of the movie.
Okay. This peaked at number 26. I saw two videos on there on YouTube. One was with the Romancing the Stone footage. And then there was another one of with Eddie Grant. And it was like an ad for, remember Banana Republic, the clothing store?
Yes, of course.
It looked like it was straight out, like these people, like they got all their fashion out of Banana Republic. And they were wearing the jungle wear that was popular in the mid-80s. I completely forgot about that company, but, you know.
I watched the same video. I went, by the way, Banana Republic still exists as a clothing store.
And does it?
You know, oh my God, yeah. And we shop there. I shop there.
Really?
It's not Banana Republic clothing anymore. I mean, it's not clothing that you would see in a Banana Republic now.
But yeah, I remember Banana Republic as like you would, in the 80s, you would step inside the store and it was like you're stepping into a jungle. Or something.
Like cargo pants and the jackets with pockets. And
yes,
totally.
They don't sell that anymore, though, right?
I mean, no, they sell clothes that you or I would wear.
I stand corrected. I will need to. I need to look up Banana Republic again. And
it's owned by the Gap.
More fun there facts. Ah,
so fall into the Gap. And by the way, the last fun fact about this song: it was a bigger hit in Canada. It hit at number 7.
Yeah, peaked at 26 in the U.S. By the way, I did some more research on Eddie Grant. He was in the band The Equals, and they had a big hit. It was actually a number one hit in 1965, like 9 years ago, you know, before this, with Baby Come Back, which
the radio
Come
song?
Back, Baby oh. Come Back. He was a guitarist and background vocalist in this band.
How about that?
Yeah, I played it. It was like, oh my God, wow. So Eddie Grant, when he was having these hits with Electric Avenue and Romancing the Stone, he was like in his mid-30s. So, you know.
Practically an old man.
Yeah. Also, I saw, this is crazy. He had, when he was 23, he suffered from a heart attack. And he had to leave the Equals. Which is
holy shit.
Right? I know. So he started producing back then and came back and as Eddie Grant solo artist and still doing well. In 2016, he received a Lifetime Achievement Award from the government of Guyana, which is where he was born.
Native. He's a native son.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I mean, it was very cool. I went down a little bit of a Eddie Grant rabbit hole. Saw him on performing on an American Bandstand, singing Romancing the Stone. Looked great. Man, good looking guy.
Yeah, I'll only associate him with Electric Avenue.
Yeah, well, I completely forgot about Romancing the Stone.
Yeah, me too.
I kind of want to see this movie again. A doughty romantic adventure writer is hurled into a real-life adventure in the Colombian jungle in order to save her sister, who will be killed if a treasure map is not delivered to her captors. She is helped out by a brash mercenary, and together they search for the priceless gem located in the map. I mean, come on! I'm all in. It's Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I figured you are all in, but I'm thinking that it might feel a little dated.
Oh, it will be 100% dated. You are correct.
But you'll get to hear Kathleen Turner and her super sexy voice.
Well, I go to Body Heat for that whenever I need my Kathleen Turner fix. I will put on that.
Sure makes more sense.
Romancing the Stone, Eddie Grant. Is this on the K-Rock list? You really do some deep thought when it comes to that.
No, it is not.
You are correct. You are correct.
I know I am because I already know which ones are on. I know the rest of them.
Do you?
Because I can see what they are, and I know that they must have remained on the list. Yes.
You could see what do you mean you could see what they
I'm
are?
I'm looking at the 106 point. I'm looking at number 106.
Oh, you're doing some.
Seven.
Okay.
Oh, I'm cheating, right?
I don't.
I shouldn't be. Well, I had to have looked ahead.
No, that's fine.
I had to do the research.
That's fine. No, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. You think you got it?
So, I do.
I'm going to predict you're going to make a mistake.
Oh.
Okay. I will say no more. All right.
I don't think so.
All right. We are just getting into the swing of things as we count them down, but we need to take a break, and that's exactly what we're going to do.
Hey, Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things KISS. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Welcome back to the What Difference Does It Make podcast.
Well, we're now on number 103. This is the Bronski Beat, Small Town Boy. Spectacular.
I can talk about this. We could have dedicated a whole episode to this song.
Oh my God. What? Yeah, the video and the song, still moving and pertinent today. And I mean,
bawled my eyes out. I watched it again this morning, bawled my eyes out.
Jimmy Somerville is the vocalist who sings in that falsetto. Wow. Yeah. I mean, just tremendous.
This is autobiographical, semi-autobiographical.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it probably had to be. I mean, you write what you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
What the song is about, it's it covers the oppression of gays in provincial Scotland in the early 80s. So I didn't know it was Scotland.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the video kind of reflects that. He's a swimming club or something, and he's kind of fawning over one of the divers
or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course punished for that. So, and that, you know, it shows him on a bus, you know, just realizing that he has to run away.
Yeah. And, but there was a scene with his parents before he ran away. First of all, he was brought home by the police, which I think was because he was beat up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he was brought home by the police and, you know, his dad is obviously not accepting and his mom, you can see she just loves him. And that's what was so emotional for me, just seeing him with his family and how common those reactions from parents must have been back then.
Yeah. Oh, crazy. And it did fairly well. It peaked it for the times for the and for the subject matter. It went up to number 48 in the U.S. I think it probably did better in the U.K. But to even, you know, have.
It was number four. Well, the album was number four. The album Age of Consent. I don't know about the song.
In the the song peaked at 48 in the U.S. So, I mean, it had an impact in the U.S., the single.
Yeah.
So
I'm talking about the UK album charts peaked at number 4.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it did. Yeah. It did definitely did what better in the UK. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the band, the Communards?
Yeah. They did a remake of Don't Leave Me This Way. Do you remember?
I had to revisit those. They did two songs hit the charts. Don't Leave Me This Way and Never Can Say Goodbye.
Yeah. And that was, just so everybody knows, that was Jimmy Somerville also.
Yeah. Very cool. But so that, yeah. It was kind of, cause I was wondering whatever happened to him, and you know, he's still out there and doing things and, you know, performing. Super talented.
This album, the Age of Consent.
Yes.
It was released in 84. So did you know, I don't remember this at the time, and I'm pretty sure I had the album. I think I must've had the album. Maybe I ended up having the CD a couple of years later, but the inner sleeve listed the varying ages of consent for gay sex in different nations, countries around the world.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And so at the time, the age of consent for acts between men in the UK was 21, compared with 16 for heterosexual acts.
Wow. That's
insane.
Well, I'm sure it was different in the US too. I'm sure it was, probably wasn't allowed back then.
Yeah. That's, as I said, this could be a whole episode.
Yeah. So yeah, very, very powerful and moving. It was good to revisit that. Is this song still on the K-Rock charts?
Indeed it is.
It is. It is number 74.
Yeah. Should have been higher.
Okay. Very good. Yeah. All right. So
that's
now,
just my opinion.
No, that's a good opinion. We recognize your opinion. It's a valid opinion.
Thank you.
The age of consent for your opinion is, you know, you've passed that. So, you know, we will accept your your opinions. Okay. So number 102 is The Cars' Magic. Why do you laugh?
I do you like this song?
I love this song. It's magic. It's magical.
It is magic.
I mean, it's so poppy, so amazing. You know, just this was the Cars moved on to, they had a different producer for this album. This was the album Heartbeat City. Originally, it was Roy Thomas Baker, rock producer, did some great stuff, but they moved to Robert Mutt Lang of Def Leppard and Shania Twain, and knows how to write pop hits or produce those songs that, you know, this war, this great sound. And the Cars took a huge advantage of that. There were how many, like four they had
hits on this album?
Yeah. From Heartbeat City. Of course there was You Might Think went up to number 7. Hello Again was number 20, and their big hit Drive hit number 3.
It was a good album. Do you remember the video for this song?
Yeah, I saw the video where they're, you know, he's like Jesus, and, you know, they're, and there's all these freaks that look like they're straight out of the 80s, just trying to touch him. They're all dressed up in, I don't know, some are costumes, but it's all, I mean, you could look at this video and just look at these extras and think, oh my God, this is, again, super 80s. So 80s.
Which is good, and it should be. And do you know where it was shot? The video that it, I think it was a party scene, but
yeah.
They were fawning all over him, but it was a party scene. Do you know where it was shot?
Where was it shot?
It was shot at the Hilton Estate.
The hotel?
No, the Hilton Estate, the family's home.
The family's home. Oh, the actual Hilton. So, yes. So like a baby Paris Hilton was there? Like
she was not in it. She was 80, not there.
In 84, was she born yet?
She may have been born, but she was not in it.
So, yeah. Was it Conrad Hilton?
Was that Conrad Hilton. I think that was the dad, yeah.
All right.
And do you know who directed this video?
Please tell me.
Very important. Tim Pope.
Tim Pope. And we know Tim Pope from?
Well, we know Tim Pope because he directed, you know, lots of videos in the 80s, but mostly because he directed 37 videos for The Cure.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yes, which is significant.
I mentioned Robert Mutt Lang, who's associated really with Def Leppard. He almost didn't produce Hysteria because he had a commitment to the car. So he told Def Leppard that he couldn't work on Hysteria. But due to delays in the album's recording, Lang was eventually able to produce it. And they lived happily ever after.
Lucky for everyone, including us, if you like the album Hysteria, which I do.
Yeah. So that's crazy to think like, oh, my God, that's. That might not, it could have been, a completely different story for Def Leppard. Also, I should say, even, you know, because I think in the last pop culture episode, you were kind of poo-pooing on 1984. there was the critic Robert Christgau. I'm sure you're familiar with him. He noted that the glossy approach the cars invented has made this the best year for pure pop in damn near 20 years, and it's only fair that they should return so confidently to form. So Robert Christgau agrees that 1984 is the greatest year ever for music.
So he's speaking specifically about pop music and not necessarily the alternative genre.
Alternative was good, too. We can get into that. Don't get me started on that.
But we are going to get into that.
But so the car's magic was magical.
Yeah.
So let's see. Is the car's magic? Is this on the K-Rock list?
It is.
This song is not on the list. I am sorry. Thank you for playing. Good day.
I picture me dunked in the dunking machine. Seriously?
Here's a spoiler, another spoiler. There are no more car songs on this list for 1984. This is it. This is the only song that is on the K-Rock list from 1984. They played this and then like, you know what? This is for top 40 radio. This is not K-Rock music. They took that approach. Like this is, Robert Mutt Lange has made them a commercial sound. So this is not K-Rock music anymore.
And thinking about it, and when you really think about the song, if you listen to it, I do believe that. I mean, I thought because of the cars, for sure it would be on. But that does make sense. It is more of a pop song than it is a K-Rock song.
Yeah. It was played all over MTV. Yeah. It was MTV, Top 40 radio. You did not hear this on KROQ.
I was so sure. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, then that leaves that song 101 on the list.
So now we go to song 101, which is on the list. It's number 72 now. Back then, it was number 101. This is the band Wire Train, I'll Do You, a band from San Francisco.
I would have guessed when I was trying to narrow down the songs that remained on the list, I would have included this because this is very representative of K-Rock in 1984.
Yes, agreed. And I didn't even realize this. I looked it up. They opened up for Big Country in 1984. And so they played the Palladium in 1984, and I was at that show. So I saw Wire Train, although I don't remember them. I just, I think I do remember, this was like one of my first like small, I mean, Palladium is big, but this was like my first like intimate, smaller, non-arena type show. I honestly think, I remember seeing Wire Train going, it was like where I discovered the big difference between an opener and the headliner. Yeah. Where the opener was like, not a big reception they played their songs in polite applause. Why do people go to shows? This is, no one's into it. This is kind of weird. And then Big Country came on and everyone was going crazy and I was going crazy. Like, oh my God, this is the best ever. It's tough for Big. Yeah.
Well. Did you remember with Wire Train? Because they had a hit in 1983 in the Chamber of Hellos.
Remember? Yeah, I'm sure we talked about it in 83.
I mean, we must have, but do you remember hearing it at the show? Do you remember people recognizing it when you were at the Palladium in 1984?
Probably. I mean, my only memory is the tepid reaction that the band got for as being an opening band. Very tough. The drummer in Wire Train, his name is Brian McLeod. Does that name sound familiar to you?
Brian McLeod.
Brian McLeod.
No.
Because?
Well, it sounds familiar because it's a common name. Okay. No, why?
Does the name Sheryl Crow sound familiar to you?
Vaguely familiar, as in one of my favorite artists of all time.
Does the album Tuesday Night Music Club mean anything to you?
Oh, yeah.
Does the song Every Day is a Winding Road, Strong Enough, and A Change Would Do You Good mean anything to you?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, they mean everything to me.
Yeah. So he's co-writer on that and he was part of the Tuesday Night Music Club.
Oh, awesome.
Yes.
And he played with Wire Train?
Yes. Yes, he did.
That is super exciting.
So he's written for Pink and the Bangles and Tears for Fears.
Okay.
Valuable asset as a songwriter. Not only a drummer, but he writes songs. Who knew drummers could do that? Drummers aren't able to do that, but apparently Brian McLeod is.
He's multi-talented.
Apparently.
Drummers get the short shrift and they work really hard.
Of course. Yes. Indeed they do. And as we talked about, they are also on the K-Rock list. They are at number 72 on the updated list. So good on Wire Train. And so that concludes our countdown for now. We'll take it up next week, and we're gonna have new guests on our show for each week. So as a teaser, we will have Mike Marone, the former PD of SiriusXM's The Loft. And now doing his own thing in the basement, Mike's basement. So looking forward to talking to him next week and talking about the top 10. Was it? We'll go through songs 101 to. Oh no! Wait. Oh, I'm sorry. 100 to 100
to 91.
100 to 91. This is so confusing.
Dave's learning how to count.
Numbers are hard. All right. So we're going to do a quiz now, as we've done in the past. This is exciting because we didn't do this when we did interviews. We didn't want to quiz our guests, but we like quizzing each other. So here we go. So this is based on Holly. Tell me about this book and where we're going with this.
Well, this is a book called The 80s Music Trivia Quiz Book, and it is 350 multiple choice quiz questions from the 1980s as put together by Clint Glover.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you 10 questions. There are multiple choice answers. There are multiple choice questions with an A, B, and C, but most of the time Dave gets the answers without even having to have the multiple choice Great. Given to him. The when multiple the choice is given to him.
Putting the pressure on me.
Yeah, no pressure.
Okay.
You got these.
All right, go ahead.
So Trust me, you got these.
Here we go. Let's plow through these real quick. Here we go.
All right. Number one, which of these albums by Phil Collins was released in 1989?
Hello, I Must Be Going. Nope. Okay. But seriously?
Very good.
Okay.
But seriously.
Okay. Here we go.
Number two, which of these singles by Bruce Springsteen was released first? You have to listen to the multiple choice.
Okay. Forcing me.
My Hometown, Brilliant 84. Disguise, or Dancing in the Dark?
87, and Dancing in the Dark was 84. Oh, wait. So Dancing in the Dark was the first single off Born in the USA.
You are two for two.
Okay.
Number three, which of these songs was a hit for the musician Falco in 1986?
All right. Is it Rock Me On Amadeus or is it? No.
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is. Oh. Okay. Rock Me On Amadeus. Very good. Okay.
So you are three for three.
All right.
Okay, the song I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For was released by which group?
You?
Do you want the multiple choice?
Do I get... I'd like to buy a vowel and a number. You too?
Ding, 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 ding.
Okay.
You are four for four.
Excellent.
In which year did Billy Ocean release the song African Queen, subtitled No More Love on the Run?
No more love... Oh, my God. That's probably 84, 85...
Do you want the choices or do you?
Yeah, well, give me that. Are they on
1984, 1986, 1988?
Well, I'm supposed to go with my first guess. Go ahead. I'll go with my first guess.
You are five for five.
Okay.
Dave, you are rocking this.
Whoop, whoop.
Okay. Number six. Who had success in 1985 with the song Rhythm of the Night?
Oh, was it Gloria Estefan?
Let me give you your choices.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
You got this once you hear the choices. So, Rhythm of the Night, Atlantic Star, Commodores, or DeBarge?
Oh, DeBarge. I'm sorry. Yes.
There you go.
Ah, yes.
Six I'm thinking of, I'm not gonna...
The Rhythm is going to get you. That was my... I got my rhythm songs confused.
Well, I'm not going to deduct you for that because you did get it from the multiple choice.
There is something about the rhythm. It is going to get you, you know, every single time.
The rhythm is going to get you, Gloria.
Yeah.
All right, six for six. Which song by Wham contains the phrase, somebody tell me, won't you tell me why I work so hard for you?
You know what? When people say song, like just speak the lyrics,
I know. That's why I'm trying not to sing.
I know, right?
As if you'd recognize them if I sang them. But would you like the multiple choice or do you want to sing it in your head a little bit?
So what was it? Somebody.
Do you want the multiple choice?
Yeah, go ahead. Give me the choice once I hear this.
Okay. The Edge of Heaven, I'm Your Man, or Everything She Wants. Somebody tell me, won't you tell me?
Maybe it is everything. Is it Everything She Wants?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Okay. So that was seven. You are seven for seven.
All right. Keep it
and
going.
And now you'll be eight for eight. The song Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic was released by which group?
The Police.
You are eight for eight.
All right.
Number nine. Which song by Queen contains the phrase, I'd sit alone and watch your light?
Ooh, I will not get this one.
I think I can. I don't even know if you'll get it from the choices.
Okay,
is A Kind of Magic, Radio Gaga, or Under Pressure?
Okay. What was the lyric again?
I'd sit alone and watch your light. Ooh, I guessed wrong.
Sit alone and watch your. I don't think it. I don't think it's in under pressure. I don't. All right. So what was? I'm sorry. The other one was.
A Kind of Magic or Radio Gaga.
Well, sit alone and watch. I'll guess Radio Gaga. That sounds like it would be.
You are correct. Yeah,
that sounds like a song from because you're talking about the radio. So.
I'd sit alone and watch your. Oh. I was thinking A Kind of Magic, but you are correct.
Okay.
Check you out. 9 for 9. Okay, number 10. Who had success in 1982 with the song Hard to Say I'm Sorry?
Chicago.
You, my friend, got 100%. You get an A++.
Thank you. Did you ever see the David Foster documentary? Did we talk about this?
We talked about it, but I did not watch it.
I watched it over our break. He's clearly nuts, but yeah, he helped Chicago, much like Robert Mutt Lange helped the Cars. David Foster helped Chicago out. Crazy. Yeah. All right. Good app. Fun.
That was super fun. I love counting down.
All right.
Thank you, listeners of the What Difference Does It Make podcast, for joining us.
Okay. We got 10 more of these. It's going to be a lot of fun. Bring in some guests next week. Mark Marone. Please come back and check that out. He'll make it a lot of fun. He's got a lot of insights. He's more of a nerd than I am, so that'll be good.
I can't wait to talk to him.
Okay, excellent. All right, so until next week, this is Dave.
This is Holly.
Check you later.
Over and out.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.